Welcome back to another edition of the Hometown Hero. This is Tom McNew here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. Got a very, very special guest with us today. Mr. Rodney Magellan is joining us here in the St. Colby studio. Rodney is a Navy SEAL, former U.S. Deputy Marshal, CIA operator, and some things that we probably can't talk about in public. But we'll leave those for another conversation. Rodney is also now an author, and that's really kind of the point of today's conversation. Wrote a very inspirational book called The Tip of the Spear, It's Not What You Think. And I think the subtitle is probably more important than the main title, but we'll talk about that in a minute. We're going to learn more about Rodney and his decision-making behind the book, and not just the why of the book itself, but why he wrote it. I think that, first of all, I want to encourage everybody to go get this book, because there are lessons for all of us in this book that we can apply regardless of our situation, and we'll talk more about that. So, Rodney, thanks for joining us today, brother.
Tom, thanks for having me. Wow, great introduction. Yeah, no, it's most of the jobs that you mentioned there were by accident, except for one. Again, it was kind of by accident, but it was, again, a sense of service that drew me into the agency. I was a GRS agent after 9/11, which made me leave the Marshal Service. I love the Marshal Service. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yes, and I do want to mention that the book has actually won its fourth award.
Wow.
Out of 1,350 books, it got runner-up in the motivational category.
Wow. Yeah. Where was this at?
So it's the PenCraft
okay.
Literary Excellence Award. On the cover, you'll see there's three awards there. It won the International Impact Award, the Nonfiction Authors Association. It got a bronze medal. And then the PenCraft Book Award in Literary Excellence.
Wow.
And then they take all those, PenCraft does, and they judge them again. And out of 1,350, we were notified not too long ago that it got runner-up in the motivational category.
Wow. Yeah. Well, fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This was TV and not radio. You would see that my book is full of dog ears and sticky notes, and there's a lot of questions I want to ask, but it's a half-hour show, not a half-day show, and we'll get to some of these as we can. But it is a great book, and I really, really want to recommend everybody go to Amazon, not the river, the website, pick up, just type in Tip of the Spear, but make sure you type in Magellan or Rodney after that, because there's about 50 other books called Tip of the Spear. And this is the one that you want to pick up. So
definitely an oversight on my part. I actually had the title of the book before I even started writing the book. And another podcast mentioned that, all the different books that are already out there with the title of Tip of the Spear. And like you mentioned, It's Not What You Think.
Right.
Actually means more to the title. You can also pick it up at my publisher's website, which is Ballast Book.
Okay.
Ballast Books, if you want a signed copy. I also have a website, tipofthespearbook.com. Make sure it's book, not books. Someone else jumped on my bandwagon. But tipofthespearbook.com, and the links will be there for Ballast Books if you want a signed copy, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and then there's also links to other podcasts that I've been on.
Awesome. Yeah, so we'll make sure and link all of that in the show notes here a little bit. So Rodney, kind of let's just give yourself a proper introduction to all of our listeners. A little bit about your background, maybe, without spoiling the book.
Without spoiling the book, that's right. I am one of seven kids. Grew up in Washington State. We were migrant workers and came from a family that a broken home. My parents split up when I was young, and I'm one of the younger ones. I have four older brothers, and then my sister and I are twins, and then I have a younger brother. I weighed all of 150 pounds soaking wet when I graduated high school, joined the Navy, and thought I was going to pursue a different path. Found out I wasn't, so I made the best of the 3 years that I thought I was stuck for. And saw the program UDT SEAL, and I will probably be one of the few SEALs that will tell you that I did it for the money. because I was sending it home. You remember those days, you know, a couple hundred bucks is what we were getting paid every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so when I started adding up the jump pay, the dive pay, the demo pay, special duty assignment pay, and I was like, wow, as an E1, I'm going to be making what an E7 makes. Mm-hmm. And it's a 36-month commitment. I asked a friend how many years that was, and he's like, well, that's 3 years. I go, well, I'm stuck for 3 years. So I said, let's do it. Had no clue what I was getting myself into, but I knew that I had a purpose, and the purpose was to get my mom and us out of poverty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Worst part of Buds?
Worst part of Buds? Wow. So, you know, it all sucked. I mean, Hell Week definitely was bad, but I think the island for us was just as bad. So I started with class 143, and I graduated with Buds class 143. Mm-hmm. So just to put that in perspective, 85% of the people that start the program don't make it. 95% of the people that start the program don't finish with the class they started with, because they either get injured, they fail a test, or they get rolled back for whatever reasons.
Recycled is the Army term, but yeah, same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was fortunate enough to graduate with the class I started with. I was 18 years old when I started Buds. Wow. I turned 19 in Buds, so I think that helped me being ignorant.
Not knowing what you were getting into in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, and taking it day by day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I survived another day. So let's see what tomorrow brings.
Yeah.
The island was second phase for us. Now it's third phase. So the island, so it's land warfare. It was first phase is we're going to beat you and just see what you got. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of instructions and whatnot, but not a lot. Second phase was land warfare for us. Let's start teaching you some stuff. The navigations, the land nav, the weapons, all this good stuff. But then towards the end of it, you go to San Clemente Island for 30 days. And back then, it was open bay barracks, and it's not like it is now.
Yeah,
and it's MREs, and you had to do so many pull-ups, and after a frog run up the hill and a rope climb, and if you didn't do those pull-ups, then you're eating an MRE in the surf zone.
Yeah.
If you wanted a hot meal, you had to earn that hot meal.
Wow.
And the instructors would tell us, too, it's like, hey, wait till we get you out to the island. No one can hear you scream.
Yeah.
And it was true. And it was 30 days straight. And it was probably, on average, 4 hours of sleep a night for 30 days. Just
all of us Army guys have seen G.I. Jane, so we know exactly what SEAL training is like.
So that was an Army intel unit who definitely had some...
Anyway. I'm kidding. For my Marine brothers and sisters out there, you know I'm just kidding. So anyway, so back to the book. What drove you to write this book in the first place? I mean, there's a lot of great nuggets of information that you could have just kept to yourself.
Yeah. So when I retired from the Navy, I wasn't really prepared to retire. And but it was the right decision for the family, and I thought I was just going to transition into going back to teaching, doing contractor work, more on the instructor level, and when I realized that that wasn't the best for our family and to keep our family unit together, it was okay. Then what do I do? Mm-hmm. And I got to a place where I felt like I was really helping folks and I was making positive change in my career and lived enough life to really share some experiences with folks. Not that I'm smart. It's just that when you do 35 and a half years of something, you pick things up. And even though those young folks that are just starting their career, they're looking at you sideways. It's like, why are you telling me this? It's like, they don't realize we've been in your shoes.
Yeah.
I've been in your shoes and I see the road you're going down. No different than a map. It's just like I explain in the book. It's no different than your GPS.
Yeah.
It's leading you somewhere, but you'll listen to that GPS, but you won't listen to the older folks around you who have done what you're getting ready to do.
Or who are at the end of the road down there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I started getting depressed. I really started getting depressed because I wasn't helping anyone. Mm. I felt it, there's always that, I don't think that sense of service ever leaves us. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And yes, I'm focused on my family, and yes, I'm helping my children and our wives and whatnot, but mm-hmm. but I just felt like there was still so much more to share. So I just started writing. And I wrote, and I wrote, and it didn't take long. That's why I say it. I had the title before I even wrote the book. Yeah. And I'm not depressed anymore at all.
You used the word intentionality in the book, and I think that that's a key component.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things I want to do, I have to admit, though, to everybody, and I told Rodney this earlier before we started, on page one of the introduction, I got my ire up. I nearly put the book down, and I really wanted to start with challenging. I'm like, because you mention in here, if you have the work ethic, you can do the same great things as the people at the tip of the spear. And I'm like, well, hold on now. The world needs ditch diggers.
Yeah.
And not everybody is going to be a Navy SEAL or the President of the United States or CEO of insert major company here. But that's really not what the book is about.
No, it's not. You can still be great at what you do. And that's what I'm trying to tell folks. It's what got me to where I've been and where I'm going mm-hmm. was I tried to be the best at everything I did. Even when I share when I was 14 years old working as a janitor's assistant, mm-hmm. it didn't matter what I was doing. I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities. And when you think that way and when you live your life that way and you accept all the challenges that are put forth and you do the best of your ability, mm-hmm. you will become elite. And not only that, but when you go home and you're facing your family, your friends, and everyone else, there's no chip on your shoulder. There's nothing. It's like, look, mm-hmm. I did my best today, and I'll continue doing my best tomorrow. Every day I'll get better. And that's really when you look at the teams and you look at the military and how we push each other, we're always trying to make ourselves better. We don't ride horses to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because people are looking at there's a better way.
Yeah.
And if people don't think that way on how to make things better, then we become stagnant. And that, even down at the micro level in just yourself and your family, it matters. And it gives you purpose. Mm-hmm. And it drives you. And you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish when you think like that.
Yeah. And I think the important thing that you really hit on here in multiple places throughout the book is maybe everybody starts down a path to be at that tip of the spear, but the spear is more than just the tip.
100%. That tip of the spear is less than 1% of the whole. Without the 99%, you have nothing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've asked folks, I said, listen, if I were to take the spear head off of the shaft mm-hmm. and hand it to you and I still had the shaft, what would you rather fight with?
Yeah.
The shaft has reach.
Yeah.
Right? I still keep it like, yeah, you got a sharp pointy end, but look what I have.
Yeah.
Okay? And we lose sight of that. And one of the things I want to clarify too, it's I talk a lot with my publisher and other folks, and maybe I should have called it tip of a spear. Because that's another thing that people, in my opinion, get wrong. They think that there's only one spear.
Yeah.
And there's only one tip of that spear. Mm. And if you're not that, you're not successful, you're not elite, you're not. No, man. There's millions mm-hmm. Upon billions of spears, which a lot of tips. And you could be the best mm-hmm. at whatever spear you decide to be a part of. And not only that, but we wear different hats. It's like, I may not be the tip of the spear at home. My wife's got that role. But I'm a good support role. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm the spine in the spearhead
yeah.
that helps support that tip so that it's strong and it mm-hmm. does what it needs to do. And maybe in the family as a whole, I'm down in the shaft where mm-hmm. I'm that good support role to help get that tip to where it needs to be.
And I think that's the other key component that you kind of mentioned in here is that the spear in and of itself, without each of those individual components, can't perform its function.
Nope.
And so if you're a part of the shaft, be the best part of that shaft that you can be.
It matters. It matters. And one of the chapters I describe in detail why all the components need to be the mm-hmm. best. Because when they're not, it all affects that impact point.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is this tip designed to do? It's designed to make impact and to leave impact
mm-hmm.
and to do that. And that's why everyone focuses on that. But pick a profession, pick a sport, pick a hero, pick an artist, and there is a huge tail behind mm-hmm. them, helping them be the best they can be.
Yeah.
But we focus on that tip, right? Because that tip is designed to make that impact.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And you could be that if you want. But if you can't, you still be the impact point
yeah.
at what you decide to be the impact point at in your family, in your church,
mm-hmm.
in your school, in wherever. I mean, mm-hmm. we affect people every single day.
Yeah.
It's up to us to decide whether that's going to be positive or negative.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you talk at length about being part of, as you said, wherever you are in that shaft of doing your job. And I think that there's a couple of generations maybe of some kids that are convinced that, or maybe not convinced that hard work is the methodology, that hard work has a purpose, that hard work has a value. And you talk about, you know, And I'm making a gross generalization here. There's obviously exceptions to every rule. So, you know, what advice would you give to our parents and grandparents that are listening that, you know, may know a kid or young adult that is still struggling to find that work ethic?
So a lot of the things that I find very interesting, especially when we're talking about our youth in today's environment, is it's not so much that they can't do hard work. It's what they choose to put their efforts towards. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. You got some kids out there skateboarding, and they'll spend hours and hours and hours trying to get that ollie down.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come back with bruises, bumps and bruises and scrapes and cuts and whatnot. But man, it's like, hey, I hit that ollie. They don't see the hard work they just put in. It's like, that's hard work. They don't see it like that. Because it's what they're choosing to put their efforts towards mm-hmm. because they decided to do that. Another example, they get a new game, it just came out. They put it in the PlayStation or Xbox, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hours and hours and hours spending playing that game, figuring it out, having to restart it. You know, that didn't work. Not even a week later, it's like, I beat the game. But they don't see that as work.
Yeah.
But it is. It's trial and error, trial and error, trial and error, trial and error, and they keep at it and keep at it and keep at it until they perfect it. And that is work. It's getting them to see this, like, you have the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're choosing not to. And I'll ask you why. Because understand that work, it is a four-letter word. And, it is not supposed to be fun. If you can have fun at it, great. But it nowhere in the definition does it say great time. It doesn't. But you get paid to do something that somebody doesn't want to do, doesn't know how to do, or
isn't equipped to do. Mm-hmm.
That's why you get compensated. I had a conversation with a young adult who was saying, I think it's horrible that today everything revolves around money. Mm-hmm. And I said, stop. The life does not revolve around money. Mm-hmm. It revolves around effort. Right now, you could go and claim land in Alaska for free, but you're going to have to build your own shelter. You're going to have to hunt your own food,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to provide your own water. Or you can do something that someone doesn't want to do, doesn't know how to do, or isn't equipped to do,
right.
Get compensated for that. And with that compensation, now you pay for your shelter, you pay for your food, and you pay for your water.
Right.
It's effort. It's not money. It's effort. And I think the youth today, they're equating that work with money. And they're like, I'd rather not, because my parents are giving me money now. So what do I need money for?
Yeah, exactly. What do I need it for? Yeah.
Right. And it's effort.
Yeah.
It really is.
One of your chapters is about overcoming trauma. And again, I don't want to spoil anything in the book, but, you know, and how you overcome that, how you effort, you particularly, but the necessity of overcoming trauma. What I'm curious about, and what advice you would give to someone who thinks or is in a situation where they've got loved one, spouse, family member, whatever, that's part of that, that's preventing them from achieving that success wherever it is in the organization.
Yeah. So to me, trauma is like any other injury, and your body heals itself, and it usually heals itself stronger. Mm-hmm. Like a scar, that skin is stronger and thicker now. So when I look at any traumatic event or whatnot, I see that as a way to get stronger and make me stronger and more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my skin getting cut, it becomes more resilient instead of letting it define me. It doesn't mm-hmm. define me. Mm-hmm. It's something that happened to me. It happens to millions of people every day. As far as your family being a reason that you choose not to go down a certain path that you want, you're making a choice to be the best husband, be the best father, be mm-hmm. the best brother, mm-hmm. be the best son. These are choices, and this is what I'm talking about. Be the tip of a spear mm-hmm. at what you do. If you're choosing not to become a Navy SEAL, for instance, because I have a wife and I have a kid, okay, great. Be the best at what you're doing.
Yeah.
And by the way, be the best dad and be the best husband, because that's what you're saying. You're mm-hmm. saying, I'm not going to go and do this because my family's more important. Okay, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Be the best at that.
Yeah, and rather than use them as an excuse, recognize the calling and recognize the importance of what you're doing.
Yes. I tell people all the time, because I get thanked. You know, back in our day, we didn't get thanked for our yeah. service. You know, we got looked at like second-class citizens, but today everyone's thanking mm-hmm. us. And I start telling them, I said, well, you know what? Thank you for what you do. And they're like, well, why are you thanking me? I said, let me tell you something. The military in our country is less than 1% of our whole population. Mm-hmm. And if you start talking about instruments of power, of how a country is on the global stage that can do something, there's four instruments of power. Your economy, your military, diplomatic corps, and then your information IO campaign, mm-hmm. right? Of those four, one drives the other three. And if you look at the history of our country.
Of man.
Yeah, if you look at the history of man, when that one that drives the other three starts hurting, these other three start getting pulled
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
Our economy. Our economy is the one that drives the other three. So all you folks out there that are thanking me for what I've done, thank you. Mm-hmm. But you need to be the best at what you do, because our economy is what makes us the best. You think I bought my own equipment? You think I paid for my own training? Mm-hmm. No. That was all of our country, through their taxpayers, through the laws that were passed, through people going and inventing new and great things that I can use now mm-hmm. to keep me safe. I didn't invent body armor.
Yeah.
I didn't invent NVGs. I didn't invent drones now and all that. I mean, the way we fight now, that's from people who are thanking me when I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So one of my favorite basketball coaches of all time is Jerry Tarkanian, former coach at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the Runner Rebels. And I don't want to get into, you know, moral context here. That's a conversation for later. But he was really, really, really good at motivating his players. Finding that button, finding whatever it was that was intrinsic to them to motivate them. And that's something that you talk about kind of at length, about finding your own motivation and,
yeah.
and then as a leader figuring out what it took to motivate your subordinates and the people around you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I did a lot of roles where I was teaching, and you see folks struggling. And by the way, I never taught the same class the same way twice,
yeah.
because I always learned from my students as well. And I was fortunate because I didn't have to go find students. They were sent to me because, you know, that's how the military and the government works. Mm-hmm. You need to go through mm-hmm. this training if you're going to go and do this. Being able to motivate people, and what I would tell folks, especially as an instructor, is like, listen, inherently, you know what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. I'm just here to make you believe it. You got to believe. Like, I believe in you. I know you can do it because I've seen you do it. It's you believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm talking about finding that motivation. Find that motivation outside yourself. Think about all the people that are cheering for you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the people that you represent. Because I don't just represent Rodney. I don't. I represent my hometown. I represent my state. I represent my service. I represent the teams. I represent the agency. I represent everybody that I have ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the folks that I need to make sure I represent well.
Right.
It's not about me. It's not about me. And because I understand that and I live it and I believe it, I'm going to go and be the best I could be, like I know how to do.
Yeah.
It's not this doubt. And I'll even say the people that want to see me fail just motivates me even more, because now I'm going to prove them wrong.
There was a great discussion about that in a book. And again, I don't want to spoil that, because I want folks to go out and get the book. Go to Ballast Books, Ballast, B-A-L-L-A-S-T, Ballast Books.
Yes, sir.
Or just put in, you know, the old search widget there, tip of the spear book.
.com,
and it'll take you to Rodney's website. So Rodney here, like, we got about a minute and a half here. So what's next for Rodney Magellan? What next project?
A lot of folks are asking if I'm going to write a second book. I'm still trying to get this one off the ground. Yeah. I self-published, so there's not a huge publicity campaign for me. It's my wife and I are traveling the state of Texas, and we're going to start traveling the nation, going to gun shows and air shows, there setting up a table and selling our book.
Yeah,
and
that's meeting the way to people. Do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's fun, because we get to meet people and people are reading it and we're getting replies back. Yeah. It's not what I thought. And it's awesome. They absolutely love it. We have we're looking at possibly going corporate with Tip of the Spear. And eventually, my ultimate goal is to get it institutionalized.
Mm-hmm.
It is currently in the Secretary of War's hands.
Oh, wow.
I was able to get a copy to him, and I know he's really busy right now, so I don't think he's read it. But if we could get it into boot camps and service schools and high schools and whatnot, I wish I had read something like that before I launched.
That's exactly what I was just fixing to say. I wish when I had been, you know, as a young lieutenant or even as a young sergeant going through PLDC or going through the OIC course, I wish I'd have had something like this to give us that kind of that warm, fuzzy feeling that what it is that we're doing, yeah, there's a lot of suck, but there is some value in it, and we just have to figure out where we fit into that puzzle.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
God bless you, brother. Thank you very much, sir. Folks, the book is called Tip of the Spear. It's Not What You Think. Rodney Magellan, M-A-G-A-L-L-A-N. And we'll link the Ballast Books. We'll link Rodney's website and everything in our show notes here. Thanks again, brother, for coming and joining us. We appreciate it. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Tom. And, thanks for having me. And it's,
folks,
been a pleasure.
Please remember to put on the armor of God.